You want me to stop tapping and start talking. Okay. I have to turn my head, though, David.
Okay.
But you can't just talk straight into the microphone.
No, but you just got to be there. That's all.
I'm there.
Be there for
us. Just be there for us, will you?
Be there for us.
Hi, this is Randy Zonker, and I am the guest geek.
Okay. But it doesn't work.
I think someone ought to take a picture of us at this table so they can ruin the illusion of people who think we're in a high-tech studio, doing all kinds of things.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. This is episode 22 of Theater Geeks. Let there be light.
Require vocals.
Okay. Not my vocals anyway. We have a guest geek with us today. This is Randy Zonker, who is one of our favorite lighting designers. And we're going to be talking about lights along with some other things. But welcome, Randy.
Welcome. Glad to be here.
There you go.
You had a great voice for this.
Sure. Lighting design is one of those sort of, it's important, and the audience does realize that, you know, there are lights on stage, but I don't know that they really realize the effort and the energy and the creativity sometimes that goes into putting lights on stage and making sure that people are seen. And it's more than making people seen, right? Obviously, it does more than that. But let's come up with our best dictionary definition without looking it up in the Oxford Dictionary. What is lighting design?
Randy?
Well,
that's for me. Randy,
and this is why we have Randy here today.
Lighting design simply has to flow with the show, whatever it is. And you set the lights to help set the moods of the scenes and ensure that that those moods are carried forth. And people don't always look at lights that way, but it plays a huge part. And so the design is in the designer's mind, really, as to how do I want them to look, what it brings in colors, it brings in light levels. You have to determine all of that. The lighting design is not just a one-person deal. It is working with the directors. The directors know what they're looking for in a scene.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes the lighting designer can help them find what they're looking for in that scene.
But have to kind of be an interpreter, don't you, if the director just says, like, taking your car into his shop and saying, it makes this funny little pinging noise. But if a director says to you, well, now, I really want it to look kind of romantic. You have to know what lights to use and what levels to use to get that effect,
to get the romantic effect.
So you're a translator also.
A little bit.
The other thing I don't think people realize is that it's also about the changes in lighting. That not just between scenes, but also say within a scene, you have perfected the art of the long, slow light change. We've done where we've had, and this is not uncommon, but in our theater, it was something we really couldn't do very well a long time ago, mm-hmm. and that is within a scene, compress a sunset outside so that by the time the scene is over and it's time for everybody to go to bed, it looks like it outside. Right? I mean, it's that kind of thing.
Correct.
So we've got some changes that take, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes it's slowly changing lights.
And it's something that is not noticeable. The audience very seldom notices those type of changes.
But I would say they would notice them if they weren't there.
They would notice them
if
they weren't there.
Like if it was time for everybody to go to bed and the sun was still shining outside, I think they would notice it.
They do, but it's just one of those things. You do the same thing. The speed of the change is what makes it noticeable or not noticeable. Mm-hmm. And the current show that we're doing right now, there's a 30-second light fade that fades to the people at the table, but yet it's a total fade. People don't really notice that, unlike the last scene where it goes right down to the table. This is a very slow fade. And people don't even realize it.
Well, this is not something, obviously, that you can just walk into a theater and say, oh, I want to design lights. You have to know what the lights are, what they do, how many you have, where you can put them. How did you get into all this?
By accident.
Okay.
It was theater at its best, isn't it?
It is.
It was one of
it
those
is.
Volunteer issues that Leslie needed help. Asked if I could help set lights.
And that means
that
setting
means
them
hanging
means.
Lights, okay. Changing their locations. Mm-hmm.
She wanted a ladder man. She wanted somebody on the ladder.
Leslie, for those of you who don't know Leslie, Leslie's fairly short. And so for her to go up a ladder was not always easy to reach the things that she needed to reach.
Even
she's
on a ladder,
a former artistic director and who now lives in Florida.
Yep.
So that's how I got started on it. And I stayed
with
her.
You must have liked
it. I enjoyed it. It was something that was very noticeable, something that I could do. I had no problems with being on the ladder. Mm-hmm. I've had several other people that have wanted to design lights, but in our theater, you have to climb a ladder.
Mm-hmm. A big, tall ladder.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And that's
you
it.
Have
but
to
you,
get
But
to
you
lights.
Went from that to... I mean, you still get on the ladder, which terrifies me, frankly, which is why I don't do lights. But you went from... not just from, you know, climbing the ladder is kind of the mechanical part of it in essence, but you went from that to trying to learn the artistic end of it as well.
Correct.
And that's where, you know, those of you who don't know Randy, he tends to attack things like that pretty voraciously and got right into it and, you know, has been one of our best lighting designers ever, really.
Absolutely.
But the thing is that was a matter of study and just what, trial and error?
Trial and error.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing is Leslie, I think, was aware of this, that you needed to start by learning how the lights work anyway. So that was smart on her part to throw you up a ladder since you weren't afraid and say, okay, go up there and figure out how to operate that shutter. Because
exactly.
You know, because it's the craziest thing, because light is in reverse. And so when you go to do the left shutter, it's actually cutting the right side of the light off. If you go to do the top shutter, it cuts the bottom of the light off.
Because there's a lens on it.
Because of the lenses. So it starts to get kind of freaky in how you actually manipulate the light.
And then you have to know the difference in the lights.
See,
what this light is
I can't
going to
ever
do, a
remember
Fresnel,
that. Yeah.
You know, a Fresnel versus a can versus an ellipsoidal.
Yeah.
I remember Fresnel because it's got that funky lens on it, mm-hmm. that flat lens that's actually a lens that's sort of been split mm-hmm. in a circular fashion.
So
but
that's
the only one I remember.
To learn what each one of those lights do. I mean, you're right, Dave. It's not something that somebody can just come in and say,
it's not
hey,
like doing
I want to sit here and do and do lighting design.
I mean, anybody can come in and say, okay, look, you know, it's going to be lights up, lights down, and it's a straight wash, and we'll use whatever's here. I mean, anybody can do that.
Those shows are fun to light.
Yeah. Those shows are fun to light. You know,
easy, yeah.
And yeah, we usually call those shows improv, right? Or
I think so.
Or maybe even experimental theater. Who knows?
Well, even some of our regular plays, if they're just not, they're not that interactive when it comes to lighting.
Especially now, the older plays.
They can be. I mean, lighting design can be, I mean, you can manipulate every page of a script if you wanted to, even if it only calls for lights up and lights down. But and Randy has done that, because sometimes I know when he works on lights for me, it's like, Randy, what if we highlighted just the left side of the stage for this? Yeah, and it's why? And then, you know, you have to explain why. But what my curiosity is, when you sit down to tackle a script, what is your first thing that you do?
Very first thing that I do is I read the script, and then I reread the script, because then I'm trying to get the emotion that is in the script, because the lighting has to go with that.
And then what do you do after you've read the script? Do you sit down with the director? Do you watch the show?
No, I will sit and watch the show. I come to rehearsals mm-hmm. generally. I like to be there a couple weeks before I start to set the lights. Usually after I see it the first time, I've already got the board down there, and I'm playing with it and bugging the actors the whole time with lights up and lights down.
I can vouch for that.
But I like to watch the show.
I think you get more out of it. You get more from it than just reading. I think unless there's light cues that are specified in the script, I as a director don't have a real strong feel for what the lighting is going to do until we're really it's on stage in some form. People are moving across, and I say, oh, okay, here's where we can do this. Here's where we can do that. We have a little trick that we've done in a couple of the murder mysteries, which is sort of it's well, I guess you would call it sort of gag lighting. But it works because we try to find some humor in Agatha Christie shows, which are humorous, but sometimes with our audiences, you know, you need to kind of point it out just a little bit. We've been using some special kind of lighting. But one of the things about those shows is that until it's up, sometimes you don't really find the jokes until the actors are actually moving through it. Right. And at that point, and that affects the lighting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, we've been through that couple of times really with where we've tried to figure out, okay, where can we find some more humor in here and or, you know, is that, I think that's a joke, you know. We're looking at a British play, so yes, we can do something with that, and so we have some fun with that
now, and it works too.
And it works, yeah.
Guarantee that. It is, it's funny when those lights come up like that. And but and Randy has a problem with me probably because I'm a director designer, so I design the shows for the theater. And then if I'm directing the show as well, when he sits down with our director meetings, usually I almost know what
he
I
knows
want.
Exactly what he wants. I don't have beginning. A problem with that.
But that's
it
because
makes
I
my job very very.
But that's
easy.
Because
and I make
I've also,
your job difficult because I don't know.
But that's because I've also designed the set. So yeah. It's like, well, I know you can't put a light there. You're not going to be able to do that. Remember, there's no way to use the back wall on this show because we had to build a fake back wall back there to accommodate all the storage that we need to have, but we don't have backstage at our theater. So it's like, you know, this, and so.
But
we usually
do working that. With you, because you're also a lighting designer, makes my job very easy. Mm-hmm. It really does. I have no problem with any of your direction or any of where you say. And Marcia, when we work together. It worked out great.
It did. Because you knew what you were doing and I didn't.
And but yet we worked together.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like the opening. I love the way that it came out, but we talked about it.
Right.
I know it changed what you wanted, but we utilized the lights that we had and I thought it worked.
That's another thing. In our theater, is it very limited as far as lighting goes? I mean, I know we've added more over the years. But are there still limitations to what we can do there?
We still have limitations as to what we can do, but we have improved those. I've learned which lights I can unplug and pull half a light. When we have lights, that two lights always come up. For this show, those lights are plugged back in.
Right.
But it's just, it's trying to utilize what we have.
And
we can come up with, like, I know for sure, 9 specials.
Yeah. Wow.
I think one of the things that, and when we're talking about lights, there's also two different kinds of lighting plots that can be done, or two different styles of lighting. One of them is where at the end of every show, the lighting designer goes up with their technicians and they tear everything down to the bare bones. And then the next show that goes up, all new lighting is set. So the lighting designer actually sits with a template and the floor plan, and they actually plan out where they want all the lights to be. In our theater, we have what's called a general hang or a permanent hang. And so our lights always stay in one location, which is nice for us because it's kind of, and it was like nice, I would think, for you when you were first starting out, because you had a general hang and the lights are always in the same spot. So you always know where they are. And so when you start to design, you don't have as much to worry about. You know, you know where your lights are. You know what they do and how they work, and that makes it a little bit easier for
you. And you can re-aim them, but you know where they are.
And we do, Randy said, unplug, which Randy does all the time. You unplug, or you just don't use that light.
But we never touch our general hang.
But the general hang
is
never gets touched.
Has that always been that way?
Because
I can remember years
ago,
Frank running up and down that ladder and moving lights here and there.
I'm going to say it was that way right after our last artistic director took over that position.
Correct.
I think she
trying
created
to
the
remember.
Hang then.
Oh, okay.
And we did it one time. Did we change the general hang? We had another lighting designer come in and change the hang.
and
everything got changed.
And
everything got screwed
Leslie
up.
Leslie
right?
and I did one show with the general hang, and then it went back to what we had.
And it worked. Yeah. His hang know, worked really, really well for that work. Show. Yeah. But it just then, you know.
But you wanted to hang him.
Well, afterward we kind of did, but I still okay. like him. Yeah, but right. you know, but Randy has done both kinds of hangs too, because when we do these major shows off site, you can attest.
Right?
Yeah.
But the luxury is of being downtown. In our own theater all the time, in the same theater all the time. We have that luxury that we don't have to, you know, relearn the basic hang and then move and we don't have to redesign it every time, obviously, because we're in the same facility constantly. Plus, we have an idea of, you know, if you're going to build a box set, for example, on stage, you know which lights are going to be part of that, almost certain, you know, for certain in most cases. And so that's the other.
In most cases.
Most cases. Builds the back yeah, no, nothing is forward. Nothing is absolutely certain, but, you know, depending on where you put windows or where you have an opening or something else or, you know, whatever is needed. So anyway.
Well, once you've learned where they're going to be and focus them and everything, then you have to decide what gelatins, I don't know, they're just pieces of.
Plastic,
thin plastic that are colored, and they give you much different effects on the stage. And you have to know which one does what, don't you?
Correct. And we pretty much stay with a general hang, which is our warms and our cools, okay, our blues or our cools. But we can change. We do have changed our blues several times to give us even deeper cools.
Yeah.
We add color to some shows depending on what the show is. We flood the stage with cans with different colors. We've been able to blend colors. We did one show that we had to have six different colors on a back wall. That was Clue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to use
wow.
several different
what
colors.
Always surprises
so it's challenging.
What always surprises me is you know, you go to what's the big supplier of gels?
Roscoe.
Roscoe. Yeah, I mean, you look at the Roscoe catalog and how many different colors of gels do they have? And some of them are like just you can't believe they're even a different color, mm-hmm. and yet they are. They do something yeah. different, slightly different. And I guess you can get extremely I don't want to say like picky about, you know, specific colors that have to be like within a really tight, narrow range for your shows. So I guess they throw different than they look when you're just looking at the gel too, right?
Yeah.
And your colors will also keep things natural or add character.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is also sometimes the longer the throw is on the light. So for example, if you've got a throw 50 feet or 150 feet, you may need to change the gel color just slightly so that you get the color you're looking for. So whereas like at the Opera House, for example, we use an O2 for our warms. It's just a real light straw-colored gel. But at a larger facility, we may have to go to a 3 or a 6. Or
is that like a more saturated color?
So it's slightly more saturated because as the
Of the throw.
Because of the length of the throw.
And so you lose saturation the further you're throwing.
There's like a whole vocabulary, isn't there?
It's,
hang and throw.
Yeah, well,
and
there's classes.
Gel
I mean, it, you know, here we are talking in 15 minutes, but there's like 3 or 4 classes you could take probably in college if you want
That's right.
So, another part of the lighting design that a lot of people don't realize, because a lighting designer does not have to run the show. So your lighting designer also programs all the cues, and it's simply recording cues, recording the levels of the light, how bright do you want it, and some shows require much brighter lighting. Comedies, you know, you want the stage lit. They need to see it. Dramas, murder mysteries, you can convey by using the very same lights, set the very same place, just reducing the level.
It's a darker mood, darker lighting, correct. Basically. Yeah. 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 And, of course, you know, you say what you're talking about is programming the lights. Of course, that assumes that you have, you know, a kind of a programmable board. You always work within the limitations. We have some flexibility that maybe some theaters don't have with a computerized system that handles some of the changes and some of the transitions and some of these long fades automatically. But, you know, I remember the days of the manual board, and we stretched that sucker to the limit. But you sometimes broke a sweat in the musical trying to change lights. And because you had to literally hit every dimmer, reset every dimmer every time and try to run a show that way. So, right, I mean, it's always within the limitations of your technology. But sometimes limited technology teaches you more than when it kind of does everything for you too. So it's kind of, nice as well.
And our technology is 24 years old, 20 years old.
24 years old.
Or 20. Our
computer. The computerized one is 24 years old.
So, I mean, the technology now is just amazing. And right. And I would sit at it and, you know, like you have to know how to plot on a three-dimensional graph now for some of these lights that have been designed, because they rotate in 360 degrees, but they rotate inside, you know, the three-dimensional world. So you have to actually know how to plot that. It's amazing, and I'm really glad we're not there yet at the Opera House. I'm still glad that we've got this old computer that I can figure out. So it makes me happy.
Hope the board lasts.
Well, you know what? Yes. I think that
anybody
it's time.
Anybody likes to donate for a new board, we'd
please
be happy
do.
To take
We'd love it.
Money.
Yeah,
there you go. We'll take your money.
Plug before you end is lighting design is challenging. It's fun, and I just like to say, if people aren't afraid of ladders and
that's
would like to learn,
right?
Contact us. Hell because. Yeah. I'm not getting any younger, and John's getting busier.
That's right. Yeah. And some of our listeners in Europe, yes, you can sleep in the basement temporarily and learn lights from Randy. So, okay.
We'll put you up.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, I think it's time for us to black out.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
but first, I want to encourage you to please go to the website, www.theatergeeks.com. Provide us with some ideas for shows. Contact, you know, just drop us a note, and also stop by the Theater Geeks store, where you can buy your Theater Geeks hat, shirts, mugs, and other stuff, other geek gear, paraphernalia that'll prove that you're an official theater geek. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup, who looks best in pink light.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and I just take a blackout. And we are Theater Geeks.
Okay. And thanks again to Randy Zonker for
Absolutely.
Being with us this
hey,
time. Take care.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.